And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Oh, darn it, Bill was on his phone. I thought maybe I was
going to you're not
him.
Catching me off guard. I'm sharp as a tack today.
Bill's Rona is over!
Pa-pow!
Yeah, I'm Aaron Ryan.
Yeah, and I am Bill Cundiff. And
you are. You're all that.
Oh, it's about me right now. Our sponsor today or this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape's got everything you need in the way of John Deere products. Go up and see them. They got mowers, tractors, implements, everything you want. And got a fully stocked parts department and service department ready to go. So if you need something worked on or you need parts for your tractor, go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Hey, and I'd also like to give a, for lack of a better term, a shout-out.
Although you hate the term.
I do.
I know that. It hurts you.
Yeah. One of our local businesses, Businessware, is a IT solutions business here in Reading. And they can do pretty much anything from backup to malware to voice over internet. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff they can do for your business. Go up and see them. Talk to Wayne or give them a call at 223-3333.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
As long as it rhymes with three.
Yeah.
We saw them in the grocery store last
evening.
And interesting, we were talking about we got the virus in January. Almost made it through the whole thing, too. And then got snaked right at the end. So we got it in January, and they said, oh, yeah, we got it in February. And we were kind of talking about, you know, this, that, or the other. Something about the shots. And there's some lady who was buying, I don't know, she was buying onions or something. And she goes, oh, I had the shot, and I got a terrible rash. And then by the time we got down to the green onions, there was another lady, she jumped in, she had also had bad things.
Yeah,
it was pretty interesting. So
thank goodness most of that is behind us now.
But the bad effects of the shot were not as rare. So, you know, if you're feeling spicy, go through the grocery store and just, you know, talk about the shot to yourself and see if anybody jumps in on it. Because honestly, we started a full confab there in the vegetable department.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard to do. Okay, there's something else. Oh, I know. You know, the archives, I know that people do make use of them, but realize that you can do whatever you want with those. You can burn them to CDs and sell them to raise money for your group. You can send them to friends. They're free. A lot of stuff these days has a paywall. You can only get to the good stuff if you pay them extra. Our stuff doesn't cost anything. So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you can listen to like 11 years of material. And we really try hard not to do things that are like super local, you know, like California-centric, because obviously there's so many bad things going on here, we'd have to do 10 shows. But we try to do things that are a little bit broader. And I'm looking to have Dr. Philip Reese on again about the marijuana issue. He just released a paper last week that he's an Australian geneticist, and he released a paper last week about cannabis in all forms. So hemp, CBD, the whole, you know, the whole mess has caused an increase in childhood cancer, 49%.
Increase.
So,
and it's tied to the cannabis use?
Use and exposure. So it might be growing in your area, you know, all these different things. And so for all the people out there that are still thinking this has nothing to do with them, oh, it so has something to do with you. Not to mention the disaster area that these places are causing. One lady, they took over her property here outside. I think she's outside the city limits of Reading, or maybe not. But 42 acres on the top of a mountain. They took over her property, grown dope up there. It took her several years to get her property back, to get enough law enforcement there to drive the cartel off that mountain. But it cost her $20,000 to clean up the property.
Oh, just from what was left on the ground.
All the chemicals and everything. $20,000. So you own a piece of property that you couldn't use for years. She had gotten a permit for a well and had the well drilled. And the cartel moved in and was using the well. So, they, you know, thanks for the well, lady. And thanks for the property. And every time they tried to go up there, they were met with people with pretty serious firearms. And obviously, they couldn't get up there. So, you know, whether you ever intend to live in a rural area or not, that all that stuff's going into the water table. It's going into all the animals that turn into the food that you eat, the crops that go into the food that you eat. This is something that I just don't think people planned on this. Let's legalize it, and it'll kill the black market. Everything will be all clean and lovely. And it's like, yeah, it'll
get rid of the crime, too.
Yeah, it actually mushroomed the black market and the crime. So the sequel to Cartelville is being filmed up here in Northern California, and that will be out by summer, I think. So we'll definitely keep you up to speed on that. But if that's not an issue you're really plugged in on, I would encourage you to at least take a look at it peripherally, because it's a big deal, and it does affect you. Nothing else. It's your tax dollars. You know, why can't the police get to your house in a timely fashion? Oh, I don't know. They might be chasing around a Hmong or a Chinese or a Mexican or a Russian or a Bulgarian cartel out in your county.
You're not being a bigot, are you?
No, I thought I'd list everybody
that
I could think of. Yeah. I'm sure I left somebody out. I'm sorry if I left your group out. You know, feel free to call the station, and Travis will send me a message.
Well, there's the Caucasian cartel, too.
Don't oh, there's that one. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I forgot. Yeah. What was I thinking?
Now we've covered them all.
It's just ugly. So
now, they just got done filming in Shasta County.
They
right?
didn't film. They interviewed.
Oh, interviewed.
They interviewed a whole bunch of people on the issue, and they're coming back. They did do some drone footage and that kind of thing, and they were blown away, to put it mildly, at the volume. And they've been working on this for a long time, a couple of years. So they thought they, you know, kind of knew what was going on, and then they came up here like, oh, my God. So get ready for that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really good. They're looking to get more national exposure. They're with the Daily Caller News Foundation. So a lot of times it's, you know, a couple guys and a camera, and yeah, they can make a dent in it, but these guys actually have some horsepower. So we're sort of excited. I think it'll help. And bad news is, though, if you know people in Oklahoma, we've heard that that's where they're migrating next. So the people that are being driven out of Northern California, I guess Oklahoma's looking like a good bet.
Hmm.
So if you know people who live there and they're thinking, oh, yeah, let's legalize commercial growing and let's, you know, get some pot stores going and stuff. Yeah, you might not really actually want to do that. It might be a bad plan. So did I forget anything else? No?
No, I think you pretty well covered
it. Our guest today, we have not had on since September. We haven't even had him on this year. Last time we talked to him,
we got behind on our payments. So
the $1.87.
Yeah,
September of 2021 was the last time we talked to Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. Bill, can you repeat that back?
Negative.
June of 2010, which is like right around the time we met him, really. He has provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement. With, my print is really too small for me. And I have this stupid curtain open. Can you pull that curtain down? I can't see a darn thing. I need it dark in here. The light is hurting my eyes. He's the author of dozens of white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement, intelligence, and public safety agencies nationwide. He's the owner of Sentinel Intelligence Services, which carries out these functions as well as provides consultations to elected officials in and out of Arizona. And he's got a bachelor's in political science and a master's in counseling from Northern Arizona University. He'll be using his counseling tools on you, Bill. That's what he's doing today.
I've been
spoiler
looking forward
alert.
To it. Yeah, I have a lot to talk about.
And his doctorate from Clayton College of Natural Medicine. He specializes in the treatment of psychological disorders, which makes him perfect for us. Just perfect. And he worked a lot on the election in Arizona. And we always laughed. We always said, we should do a show about nothing, you know, like Seinfeld. And I didn't want to call it a show about nothing today, so I just put all or nothing. So we're either going to talk about all of it or none of it. I'm not sure which way we're going. But Dr. Lyle, what's happening in Arizona besides the fact we're finally on the same time, thank goodness?
Well, hello, guys.
Well, it's
been quite a while, and I think part of the reason is because Bill's last two checks bounced.
I know. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
I usually check that before I actually put it in the mail. But she may have tapped it once it hit the mail, and then, you know, it wasn't there.
If Bill sends you a check, you're in trouble because he's not allowed to use the checks. I don't even think he knows where they are.
The checks I get are always pre-filled out. I don't get it.
Here, Bill, take this.
Well, I was really excited when I saw the first one for $1.87 because I thought, oh, my goodness, they did raise me.
An inflation. It's only fair.
It's happening.
Well, I didn't go down that route. I just was excited to see that there was a 5-cent increase, and I was excited, and then it didn't make it through. I thought, oh, that could happen. I mean, we've all done that. And then the second one came through, and that didn't make it through. And then if it wasn't for Aaron sending me a bag of pennies, which we had to count out.
Are you kidding me? That would have cost me a fortune.
Yeah, there'll be no more pennies in the mail.
Yeah, can you imagine?
The freight's killing us.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you, because I owed postage on it. So it showed up that I owed postage on the So I'm out like 32 cents right now for We the People.
Cost me $1.63 to send a birthday card and a tiny aluminum circle with printing on it to my sister. $1.63. I was like, are you kidding me? And so I sent them both the same day, and they both basically went about the same distance. One sister got it in 4 days, and the next one it took 3 weeks. So, yeah, we're not going to mail you anything.
No, thank you.
You're in another state. You'll never see it. It'll never get there.
For the viewers listening to this now going, what? What are they talking about?
Insane.
This has been going on for quite a while, ladies and gentlemen, across America and into Bulgaria. I think you have a group. I have a group
in
Bulgaria now.
We have a startup group there in Bulgaria.
Actually, we had a lot of Ukrainians.
I thought so. Yeah.
In the last 30 days, it's like 99, I think, hits out of Ukraine. And I thought,
Yay.
Wow. I thought they were
bless
really busy. So God bless them if they're still
plugged
in.
Bless their hearts. Well, we've been kidding about, I don't even know how it started, you guys, years ago, but we started kidding about I wasn't back on in a week or two, or you wanted me on and I couldn't do it. And I finally one day said, well, if you'll pay me what I'm worth. And I think Bill piped up and said, well, I think it's $1.50 an hour. And I said, well, that's good, or something like that. And so over the years, I think we've been raised now 35 cents. I think I'm up to $1.85 an hour or show, something like that.
Yeah.
It's just been crawling. Well,
it's been really slow.
It has. And then you stopped telling us all the trick stuff at the border, and we started talking about the election. And, well,
we all
know that's really where the money is in the elections.
You're absolutely right. I was listening to you share, you know, all the years I've been privileged to be on your show, and I'm going, wow, we really have covered a lot, and it's all true. And then 2 years ago, my life changed big time when I was asked to coordinate the joint legislative hearing on election integrity in Maricopa County, Arizona. That's Phoenix, Arizona.
And that's where the wheels came off. Hey, Lyle, hang on two seconds. Let's take a break before you start that, because we have a lot of, I mean, in all seriousness, which, of course, is incredibly hard for us to do. But in all seriousness, people are super curious about what's going on with that. So, yeah, we would love an update. That's coming right around the corner. But in the meantime, this is why Lyle can't get any money. And you're listening to, I found the perfect song for it. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
All the gold. Somebody
else's name. So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you've played before. California's a brand new game.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over but good. They want you all body and soul, then it's just your body.
Yeah, so that was for all the cartel members. We know what to do with them. And I'm not going to say send them to Oklahoma because that's not very nice.
No.
So,
we're going to find out what is happening in Arizona.
Part two.
Yeah.
Actually, it's more than that's the only one I know, though. So, Lyle, what's going on in Arizona these days with the old election thing?
Well, we've kind of hit a point where not much is happening publicly. We're praying that the Attorney General of Arizona will take all the evidence that has been very judiciously submitted and do something on it. I pray I'm wrong, but I think he'll drag it out and do very little. I pray I'm wrong. I'll buy the coffee and bagels.
He's had it for how long? Because
he hasn't had it as long as people are thinking. Let's go back, if you don't mind, 2 years ago.
Whew, wow. Really?
Yeah. November 30th of 2020 is when the first joint legislative hearing occurred in Maricopa County, and that's when Mayor Giuliani and his team arrived. And we put on a one day, it was like a 10-hour, literally a 10-hour review of the evidence that had been gathered at that time showing election fraud, alleged election fraud at that time. Now it's no longer alleged. The evidence is overwhelming. From that hearing, which I was allowed to coordinate, that was my fifth joint legislative hearing I've coordinated over the years, and people keep asking me, why do you keep doing it? I don't have an answer. It's like herding kittens when you work with that many elected officials and have them moving in one direction. No, Senator, you got to go this way. Well, I want to go. I understand that, but we got to go this way. And I kid with them, but they're very, very polite, and they're very respectful, and they listen to me, I think because I'm bigger than a lot of them, and I holler. But moving them all for a whole day, actually for a couple of days, because I had to house them, security, media, every aspect of the legislative hearing fell under my jurisdiction, and then I had a team of six department heads, if you will, that coordinated each of their aspects and reported to me. So it was a massive undertaking. It was the first time in the history of the nation that such a hearing ever occurred. From that hearing, we went to the Arizona legislature and said there is sufficient evidence to warrant an investigation, in this case, a forensic evaluation. At that time, the legislature said we don't have any jurisdiction, and so it took a good week to teach them. Now, that's not a slam against the Arizona legislature, because the same conferences, the same consultations have occurred in numerous legislatures across the nation. Under the Constitution, Article 2, Section 3, we do have the right to have our legislators review an election and to even decertify. That is not the business of the Congress. It's the business of the state legislature. So all of this had to be taught. Once that was accomplished, which was a burden in it also of itself, a forensic evaluation was ordered by the state Senate, and that's where you heard for about 6 months Doug Logan and the Cyber Ninjas had been retained to come in and do a full and complete forensic evaluation on the electoral process in Maricopa County, Arizona. Again, this is the first time in the nation this had ever been undertaken. So there were no rule books. There was no map. Were mistakes made? Yes. If it had to be done again today, it would go a lot smoother because we'd already worked through a lot of the problems and the cul-de-sacs, if you will. The election forensic evaluation took place over several months. 16 states sent legislative delegations to Arizona to review the electoral evaluation, the forensic evaluation, to sit and be briefed. And then they went back to their state legislatures and started the process, just like Arizona had done months before. It sped up because Arizona had laid the groundwork, and sure, so they were able to borrow from Arizona's mistakes. Not one state ever made fun of Arizona. Not one state ever called Arizona out or embarrassed Arizona. While they may have acknowledged certain mistakes that they were going to correct in their own legislature, not one state ever made fun of anything connected to what Arizona was doing. And I want to say that because that is really quite a remarkable feat in and of itself. They realized that what was undertaken by the state of Arizona had never been undertaken in the history of this nation. And it was quite complex and daunting. If your viewers, listeners, will go back to my show, which came out of all of this, called Arizona Today, they can listen and view my interviews with Colonel Phil Waldron, Doug Logan, Senator Borelli, Representative Fincham, on many aspects associated with the forensic evaluation, and they'll learn a whole bunch. We had to be selective initially because of some of the sensitivity of the intelligence, but as the weeks and months wore on, we were able to open the curtain a little bit more, and you'll even hear me say that on my show. We turned all that evidence into the Attorney General. It also went to President Trump directly. And then some folks got a hold of it and began to report on it, and they sensationalized it, and that made it more difficult because there were just some facts that were just not true and some speculations, and that just made it more complicated and politically more explosive. But hardcore evidence had been turned in showing that electoral interference and fraud had occurred in Maricopa County, Arizona. Now, the way that came about is a number of people in Maricopa County, Phoenix area, went to Representative Fincham and a couple of other legislators and complained about their ballots or about multiple ballots being sent to them or different names of individuals coming to their own house. Even though they've lived in the house for 25 years, other names were coming in as registered voters. So that's how all this came about. During the course of the investigation, we found out that 16 states had been targeted to flip on election eve from Trump to Biden. This is all fact now. This is not supposition. On December 13th, December, January, February, March, so 2.5 months ago, we held another joint legislative hearing down in Tucson, actually Oro Valley, which is just north of Tucson, Arizona. And again, we did a joint legislative hearing. It was all day, and we had subject matter specialists and forensic individuals testify and present evidence, not hypothetical theories, to the joint legislative panel. And again, I coordinated every aspect of that. During that hearing, it was uncovered that 32,000 errant ballots had been submitted. And so when you take a look at the state of Arizona and Joe Biden outnumbering President Trump by 10,000 votes to win, it's just not true. 32,000 errant ballots just in Tucson area alone.
So what overall, was uncovered would have made a difference.
I didn't hear you, Bill.
I say what you've uncovered then would have made a difference in the outcome.
Absolutely, because overall, when you add Pima County, the Tucson area, Maricopa County, the Phoenix Valley of the Sun, and another county that just has not been named, I won't name it, but we have the absolute evidence on that county also. There were three counties in the state of Arizona that were compromised, and all in all, there were approximately 72,000 to 74,000 votes that were compromised. Now, when you then take a look at 16 other states where the same situation occurred, almost, what can I say, almost to the dot, to the T, to the I dotted and the T crossed. I mean, the machines were compromised, the ballots were duplicated, the machine, all voting stopped anywhere from 11 o'clock at night to 1 in the morning, depending on the state. And then 2 to 3 hours later, the machines and everything came back alive. And when they came back alive, Biden was ahead. We learned that during that 2-3 hour period, some states, maybe a 4 hour period, where the things were shut down, the numbers were changed. The ballots were changed. New ballots were introduced. All that's now evidentiary. It's not hypothetical. When you go back 2 years ago, we had very strong prima facie evidence, but we did not have prosecutorial evidence. We had reasonable suspicion, which is a lesser degree of evidentiary hearing, but we did reach the level of prima facie, which you could then go to court. However, we did not have the level which we now have as evidentiary prosecutorial evidence. We now have that, and that has been submitted to the Arizona Attorney General. The Arizona Attorney General was authorized to do a full and complete criminal investigation and was given $12 million by the state legislature to conduct such a legislation. He assigned a task force to it, including four investigators that I'm aware of. There may have been more, but four that I'm aware of. These are all seasoned criminal investigators, law enforcement investigators, as well as deputy assistant attorney generals in the area of organized crime, fraud, and related areas, and they have undertaken the review of the evidence that's been submitted. They've undertaken the interviews of key individuals and interrogatories, and that has now finished about 3 weeks ago, depending on who you talk to, 3 weeks ago, maybe on some of them 4 weeks ago, so about a month, or just shy of a month. So we're now in the phase of waiting to find out what the results might be and what process he might take. I will tell you that there is clear evidence, evidence, not theory, not my opinion, but there's clear evidence that the Maricopa County supervisors could be prosecuted. The director of elections, the recorder, and the secretary of state of Arizona. There's that much evidence, not hypotheses, not theory, not opinion, evidence. So will that happen? I don't know. The same thing is happening in 16 other states. I just received a report from Georgia that the Georgia legislature has been investigating, as Arizona did, and Georgia was one of the 16 states that sent a delegation to Arizona, and they went ahead and retained an elections integrity group. They were commissioned by the state legislature, and the gentleman ahead of that is Alex Halderman, and he is a Lexington security, cybersecurity specialist, and he has turned in a 25,000 word report with evidence clearly demonstrating that the voting machines in Georgia in the last national election suffered from, I'm quoting, quote, suffering from specific highly exploitable vulnerabilities that allow attackers to change votes despite the state's purported defenses. This report then was submitted to a federal judge who has squashed it. He has refused to allow the process to go on in the court. He's refused to have the evidence presented in court. He's refused to take any further action. And yet the evidence is overwhelmingly and sickeningly clear, just as it's turned out to be in Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, and I can name several other states. The states have done an incredible, wonderful, integrous job following Arizona. Again, learning from the mistakes of Arizona, not castigating Arizona, but then going ahead and putting together their own legislative hearings. I can tell you that after the Oral Valley down in Tucson 2 months ago, well, December 13th, after that joint legislative hearing, 11 states held joint legislative hearings on voter integrity. 11 states. I had in my VIP section for the Oral Valley joint legislative hearing, I had candidates for Secretary of State from 5 states present. And they were there specifically to continue the process of being briefed and learning what they can to take back to their own states. One of them was California. I can also tell you California did not go ahead and follow through on this, but 2 counties in California did on their own begin the process of looking at their own counties. The state legislature in socialist California would not have anything to do with this, but 2 counties in California did. But other states held joint legislative hearings, including Nevada, who initially was opposed to all of this. Nevada held 2 joint legislative hearings. They held one, and then about a month later, they held a second one, and both had evidence, again, presented of prima facie level showing ballot integrity issues and further the voting machine issues, just like Arizona, just like Wisconsin, just like Georgia, just like Michigan. This entire process in 16 states is the same because the same system was at play to put Biden in and to remove President Trump.
Do you know, as far as the machines, I know we're just about out of time here, but as far as the machines go, has there been anything done to prevent this from happening in the
midterms? We're going to have to answer that on the other side.
Okay.
So you can mull that over.
Yeah, mull
that over.
Yeah.
I got a couple of songs for to motivate you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah. That's my job.
You're always so thoughtful.
I know.
Always thinking of somebody.
I know.
Else.
As long as I can't send you all the gold in California because we live nowhere near Beverly Hills, so obviously that's a problem. but they have a lot of criminals down there, so I would imagine the gold is dwindling. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Dirty deeds and they're done to cheating. Dirty.
And that about sums up the media coverage on the Arizona fraud investigation.
Yeah.
Bill had a question, though.
Yeah, what was my question?
I don't know. I thought I'd put you on the spot,
machines. Do you think they've really done anything since then to prevent that from happening again?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
What has been proven is that the Dominion voting system machines were compromised in 16 states, as I briefly outlined before the commercial. The report that just went in to the U.S. District Judge, Amy Totenberg, who she has since classified this as non-public, but I hope to be able to release the report publicly, because it's been being submitted to elected and other officials across the nation. So I hope to have a copy, and when I do, I will send it to Aaron so you all can publish it. But that report shows clearly the evidence, not hypotheses or theories, that the machines were all compromised in 16 states. And that the tallies that were reported on Election Eve were false, and that's been proven, and that President Trump did win the last election. Excuse me.
Wow.
Now,
and so when this all... Okay, so the machines... Let's be more specific on the machines. Was this happening at the polling places, or was this happening when they all were aggregated at the end, or both?
No. It was happening in polling places. We have evidence that shows clearly that portable laptop computers, excuse me, were positioned to alter the voting as it came in. So if I voted for Aaron, that vote could be altered and sent to Bill. The next vote coming in for Bill would go to Bill. The next vote coming in for Aaron would go to Aaron. The next two votes coming in for Aaron would go to Bill, if you get my drift.
In other words,
they can manipulate.
Bottom line, sure. Aaron's getting ripped off and Bill's going into office, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
There were two satellites used, and we know both of those satellites and the numbers and the IP and all the other technical stuff about them. We also know that Dominion, a year before, went through a dry run. We know which state that was done. I'm not going to repeat. I can't repeat that yet. But we know which state that was done, and we have copies of the manuals and the teaching manuals and the training where that was done. We know who attended that training from each of the 16 states. So that would be Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada, Michigan. We know what they went through. We know the training that they went through. We have all that outlined by their own documents. So this was an extremely sophisticated, multidimensional attack on the United States. It started 4 years before the election, meaning when President Trump won, they began to go to work to make sure that he would not be reelected. We have that evidence. It's not supposition or hypothesis. We knew which countries were involved. There were six countries that were involved. China truly led. That's not opinion. Russia had very little to next to nothing to do with it. So it's not this Russia crap that they've stirred up.
Yeah.
It was China. Venezuela was involved. Cuba.
Well, don't forget the Macedonians.
Oh, no, they were in Hillary's email.
Oh, that's right. They were in
Hillary. They were after Hillary.
That's right.
Come on, Bill.
Correct.
All right,
sorry.
So this was an extremely sophisticated, very expensive, multidimensional process, and that's part of what's been so complicated when you go back and take a look and do the evaluations. It's just not a simple matter.
Right.
Let me give one other example of the simplicity, but also the complexity of this. I know what I just said. It sounds like I contradict myself, and I did, because that's what we've been dealing with for 2 years. If you have 100 $1 bills in a stack, and we count them, all three of us, I count them, and it comes up to 100. Bill does, and it comes up to 95, because Bill is very cheap on that. And then Aaron counts them, and it comes up to 100. So each of us count them, and we have 100 $1 bills. We would all agree that that stack is $100. Then we would all sign off on that. And they did that on voting. But what was not reported was when we count those 100 $1 bills, 20 of them were from Poland, 10 were from Bulgaria, 5 were from China. So really, when you add up the $1 bills in U.S. currency, we only had, let's say, 75. But they were counted as 100, but only 75 were legitimate. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
So when they say we counted the ballots and there were 100 ballots, that's true. When they stated that the 100 ballots showed clearly that they were $1, if you'll allow me my analogy here, $1 ballots, that's true too. And when they add it up and it's 100, that's true too. So on the surface, everything was true. What they're not telling you is when you go in and do the forensic evaluation, you come up with what I just suggested, you know, $1 bills from Poland, China, Bulgaria, whatever. So in the final analysis, out of that stack of 100 $1 bills, only 75 are American currency, 25
legitimate,
were foreign or counterfeit.
Right.
We also know there was counterfeit ballots. That's been proven. That's one of the reasons Arizona undertook legislation during this legislative session, which is still ongoing, to change, alter, if you will, and create a whole new ballot that cannot be duplicated, cannot be counterfeited. It's been on one of my shows where we actually showed the ballot. Since that time, that ballot has now been adopted by 32 states in America. So once again, Arizona has led the way.
Nice.
In developing another step, or if you will, toward election integrity.
Right. Now, because ultimately, the machines are going to have to match those ballots.
There you go.
You know,
that's the idea.
Yeah.
Well,
that's part of the idea. The other part is to do away with mail-in voting, unless you're military or unless you can prove it's proven and it's verified that you're infirmed or in a hospital setting. Other than that, there's the big discussions in 32 states as to having it, and we used to have it, if you remember, election day off. In other words, either businesses were closed for election day or you were allowed to leave work to go vote, but you had to vote at a precinct.
Yeah.
That's now being resurrected.
And most of those precincts stay open past 5 o'clock anyway. I mean, so most people can get off work.
Yeah, the only time it's a problem is if you happen to be out of town.
Yeah.
But
correct. But the idea in Arizona has led the way on this again. I'm not tooting them. I guess I am.
But, go ahead. Arizona.
I don't mean it that way. But Arizona has really been on the forefront of this, and the other states have been gracious to support Arizona, cheer Arizona on, learn from Arizona. I know I've talked to 4 or 5 states, and in the process of doing legislative hearings. But I know, like Senator Borelli and Representative Fincham, who have both led the way in these joint legislative hearings, they have been just inundated with consultations with their colleagues in other states. So that, you know, credit goes to them. if you go back to my show, and Arizona Today, let me put a plug in if you don't mind, and it's fun, but also kind of serious. I mean, Arizona Today came about because I thought Arizonans, and you can laugh at this, I have, many people have, and I still laugh at it. I'm not technologically savvy, and everybody knows that. And on my shows, I have cybersecurity, national security people that you'll see the conversations with, and they all know, Dr. Lyle, you know, don't touch the computer. What do you need? We'll do it for you. It's not because I'm
don't push
better
any buttons.
Than them, or I'm, just step away from the computer, please. And we've all joked about it, but I can cut and paste, by the way, and I'm very good at that, by the way. But other than that, I think everybody who knows me says, no, Dr. Lyle, we'll do it for you. What do you need? Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm better. It's just they don't want me messing up anything. So I don't understand a lot of this crap, this technology stuff. I screw things up. And I'll study it, and I'll look at it, and I'll look at it, and I'll sit right with you at your elbow, and I'll do it. And about an hour later, I've got it all messed up again. It's just not in my wheelhouse. So you'll hear me on the show. I'll say, oh, I have people. I have people that do that.
Bill has people. That's why he's not allowed to touch the checkbook.
But I started Arizona Today because right after the Maricopa County Joint Legislative Hearing, I thought Arizonans deserved to hear what had just taken place in Maricopa County, Phoenix. It was nationally covered. We had 7-8 media, national media, One American Network, Bright Right Side, Breitbart, oh my gosh, I'm screwing up already, Bannon, Steve Bannon. We had 7-8 national media outlets that carried it all day long. They were superb. And I thought Arizonans needed to know a little bit from behind the curtain, as much as I could share, because there was a number of things I couldn't at that time. And so I at the time I was working with Prescott E-News, and I said I couldn't write some things because I'm not allowed to discuss certain things, but maybe I can do, and I didn't even understand the words. I said, like, well, I do a podcast, or I go on camera and say some things, and they said yes. So they put me in front of a camera, and I sat down in a chair, and I was talking to Arizonans. Now, you can tell how sophisticated I am not. Within 10 days, it was all over the nation, and I wasn't geared for that. I was geared for just talking to Arizonans. I wanted Arizonans to know what had happened in their own backyard. And technology, as you all well know, and you're smiling, I have no doubt, is so sophisticated. There is no such thing as, let me just share this with little community. It gets out everywhere. But me being so sophisticated, I didn't know that. It was all over the nation. And within 10 days, I started receiving mail. And it got to the point, and I have so many people who can validate this, it was taking 5 hours a day to open the mail coming in. We had that much mail. And people across America were just phenomenally. It's very humbling. The support, the kind words, the prayers, the dollars they sent in to help defray the cost. And there was tremendous cost to all this. Gas money alone, and I'm not even talking $5 a gallon like we are today.
I was going to say, and now you're due for a major raise. Hold that thought. But just to kind of, one thing I forgot at the beginning, Bill, you were supposed to remind me, is today is March 13th. And so if you're kind of wondering, you know, how this fits into the universe, in case we play this at a later time, this is current as of March the 13th. Today was also daylight savings time, and the good news is, you know, now we're on the same time zone as Dr. Lyle, so that's a plus. You can find everything about the show today at wethepeopleradio.us. A wreck, but